Welcome to Narratives. In this instalment, Mark Tedeschi, QC, reads from his book, Kidnapped. Mark's day job as a top Queen's Counsel exposes him daily to the farce and tragedy of the law courts. So for recreation, he researches famous Australian criminal cases from the past that fascinate him. In this extract from his book, Kidnapped, he recreates the last minutes in 1960 of 8-year-old Graham Thorne's life when he's been lured into kidnapper Stephen Bradley's car and drugged with chloroform.
As he drove from Bondi through the nearby town centre of Bondi Junction and on towards Centennial Park, the driver chatted amiably with Graham, asking him questions about the sports he liked to play and the subjects he was taught at Scots. Graham readily answered the questions and after a while was quite entranced by this man who was unusually interested in the minor details of his personal life. The minutes passed effortlessly, without any lull in the conversation, until the man slowly eased the car through the stone gates of Centennial Park. As he did so, Graham became slightly anxious, as he had never before been into Centennial Park on a school day. His parents had taken him there on numerous picnics on weekends and during his holidays, but it seemed strange to be picking up another boy from the park to take him to school. Graham became nervously fidgeting in the passenger seat and looking around in an attempt to assess where they were going and why they were in such a strange location. His main concern was that if this took longer than expected, he might be late for school, which would anger his parents and result in disciplinary action at Scots. As he drove into the park, the man said to Graham, "We're picking the other boy up here. He lives just on the other side of the park, and his mother is bringing him. This is the quickest way to go." Graham didn't reply. The man stopped the car on the side of the road, saying to Graham, "He should be here in just a minute." For the next 30 seconds or so, the driver looked around in every direction, which Graham found strange. Surely if he was picking up another boy, the driver should know from what direction he was coming. He felt uneasy. There were no houses nearby, so where was the boy coming from? What occupied his mind the most, however, was the thought that being late for school would earn him a detention, and his parents would not be pleased. The driver then said, "I need to look up his name," whereupon he reached over the back of the bench seat to the back and pulled over a small travel bag, which he placed on his lap. For another half minute or so, the man rummaged around in the bag with both hands and then placed it on the floor underneath his legs. He then turned to face Graham. At the same moment, Graham turned to face this man and was alarmed to see a completely different look on his face, one he had not seen before. Suddenly, both of the man's hands darted at him across the seat and grabbed him firmly around the neck, pulling his head swiftly down onto the man's lap, jamming him between his abdomen and the steering wheel. Graham's school cap went flying to the floor and his school case tipped loudly onto its side, but Graham didn't even have a chance to whimper. As he struggled to breathe, the man kept a firm grip with one hand around his neck, and with the other, he reached down into his bag and brought up a piece of rag soaked in a pungent-smelling liquid, which he placed firmly over Graham's mouth and nose. This made breathing even more difficult and also prevented him from calling out. Gasping for air, his arms vainly flailed around, one of them occasionally hitting the man lightly on the chest and head, the other pushing the man's legs in an attempt to sit up. Graham's mind was entirely focused on the primal urge to draw breath, so there was no space for any thoughts of why the man was doing this. His overarching sensation was the vile smell of the rag over his mouth and nose. Within 30 seconds or so, everything went blank.
You have been listening to Mark Tedeschi reading from his book, Kidnapped. You can hear Mark read again at thenarrativeslibrary.com and hear an interview with Mark at artscanvas.com/blog. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Bay FM 99.9 for the Community Broadcasting Network and is part of the Narratives Library Project.